Okay, we're back. You're listening to Across the Border. We're going to continue in Hosea here. We haven't got very far this morning, but I think we've covered quite a few things. Hosea chapter 6 and verse 4. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew, it goeth away. That means they're only good when they're asleep, basically. Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Yes, the knowledge of God more than offerings. But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously against me. Gilead is a city of them that work iniquity, and is polluted with blood. And as troops of robbers wait for a man, so the company of priests murder in the way by consent, for they commit lewdness. I have seen a horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is the whoredom of Ephraim. Israel is defiled. Also, O Judah, he has set a harvest for thee, when I returned the captivity of my people. When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria, for they commit falsehood, and the thief cometh in, and the troop of robbers spoileth without, and they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about, and they are before my face. They make the king glad with their wickedness, and the princes with their lies. They are all adulterers, as an oven heated by the baker, who ceaseth from raising after he kneads the dough until it be leavened. In the day of our king, the princes have made him sick with bottles of wine. He stretches out his hand with scorners. So how does all of this apply? What do all these words mean? You know, this is our Heavenly Father, Yahuwah, the Creator of the heaven and earth, the God of Israel, bringing to remembrance their sins. He says, I remember all your wickedness. Your doings have beset you about. They are before my face. They are all adulterers. And on the land where I live, adultery is okay. Did you know that? It's not a sin by the laws of man to commit adultery in America. It's just fine. It's just dandy if you live in adultery. And of course, the difference is that by his law, adulterers were to be put to death. It was a capital crime in his kingdom. You see the scorners who scorn the word of God. And they go, oh, would you have us live by the law of God, which says that all adulterers should be put to death? Well, they'd have to kill half the people in America, wouldn't they? That's right. And you have a lot of so-called Christians living in adultery. They'll take a man's wife. You take a wicked woman who left her husband for an unlawful cause. Of course, if the law is nailed to the cross, then it doesn't matter. In the churches today, in a corporate church. So a wicked woman can leave her husband and leave her children and abandon them. And then some other Christian man, so-called Christian man, corporate Christian man, whatever he calls himself, church attending, you know, a Sunday go to church kind of guy, will snatch her up because she's beautiful. Go, oh yeah, gotta have that one. All that matters is the way they look. That's right. Doesn't consider the words of Christ, which says that he and her will be living in continual adultery. Those are pretty strong words, but they aren't my words. Those came from the Messiah himself. Continual adultery. And if you want to learn more about that, well, you can search the scriptures for yourself. If you need a little help searching the scriptures, I have a study on my website. You'll have to email me for the link to it. But it's, the name of the study is Betrothal, Marriage, and Divorce. Yes, I believed all those topics were somewhat related, so I put them into a, I believe it's an 8-part study. I can't remember right offhand how much, but there's a lot of material to cover if you go from Genesis to Revelation and you pull out everything that has to do with betrothal, marriage, and divorce. But I cover it all in there. And Yahshua, he didn't lower the standard. He raised the standard. He said, if you even look on a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery already in your heart. Now, he wasn't talking about a healthy young man looking at a good, an available young woman and desiring to have a wife. Because lust, if you want a definition for lust, lust is a desire for anything that is unlawful. And I know they use the word lust today to mean even a husband can lust after his own wife. Well, you know, that's a wrong definition of the word lust. I call that a healthy desire that a husband has for his wife. Yes, every husband should have that healthy desire. But today they redefine words and skew the meanings of words. But lust, biblically defined, is a desire for something that is unlawful. So if a man lusts after a woman, he has already committed adultery in his heart. So if a man desires a woman, which he is not allowed to have by God's law, and usually that's because the woman is married or betrothed to someone else, or it could be because the father of that woman forbids her to marry that man. That's right, that could be lust too. Because you get back to the commandment to honor your father and mother. And if a man wants to marry a woman because he desires her greatly, he goes to the father of that young virgin and he says, "May I take your daughter as my wife?" And that father says, "No." Well, then he's supposed to stop desiring her because of the commandment. And if you love him, if you love our Heavenly Father, well, you want to do what pleases him. And that is keep his commandments. So you'll say, you know, "Oh, Heavenly Father, I really had a desire for that woman. But if you're withholding her from me, you know, you'd take the desire away from me or help me to resist the temptation to desire her or change the Father's mind, Heavenly Father." You know, pray about it. He'll take care of it one way or another. But anyway, that's where a true desire to follow and be obedient to our Heavenly Father leads us. It leads us into righteousness. And that is His righteousness because He writes His law upon our minds and our hearts. So anyway, there a little instruction on the term lust and what it means to lust. And to counter the accusation that the ungodly make, because the ungodly would say things like that the act of procreation or sex, sexual intercourse, was the original sin, and how could God, you know, give you such a great desire to do something and then condemn you for it? See, they bring a false accusation against the Creator because of their ignorance and because of their desire to continue in their lawlessness. Let us move on here. In Hosea, we're in chapter 7 and verse 1. "When I would have healed Israel for the iniquity of Ephraim, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria, for they commit falsehood, and the thief cometh in, and the troops of robbers spoileth without." And they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about. They are before my face. They make the king glad with their wickedness, and the princes with their lies. They are all adulterers, as an oven heated by the baker, who ceaseth from raising after he hath kneaded the dough. until it be leavened. In the day of our king, the princes have made him sick with bottles of wine. He stretches out his hand with the scorners. There are plenty of scorners out there. And a lot of them call themselves Christians, too, but you go to their websites, and it's nothing but scorn. And some of it, you know, well-placed, and some of it not well-placed. I say, why scorn if there's no cause for the scorner? If someone's done me wrong, and I need to expose their wickedness to keep them from doing others wrong, well, that's one thing. But for me to scorn someone who has done wrong in the past, and who has been punished in their flesh to the point where they're unable to do anyone else wrong, what's the point? Well, there is no point to it. Because people can get to love scorning, because that's another temptation. You know, because the truth can be used in unrighteousness too. Just because something is true doesn't mean we have to say it, or repeat it, or tell it, or broadcast it about. Yes, to save others, to point out the wickedness of people who are robbing other people of their lives, their liberty, their property, their souls. Yes, they need to be exposed. But to take joy in scorning for scorn's sake, just for the pleasure of scorning, is another great evil. So, he has stretched out his hand with scorners. And here you're mixing wine with scorning, and you see what happens. You know how people get when they get drunk and start oppressing others and spouting out scornful things about others in their drunkenness. And whether it's they're drunk with wine, or they're drunk with power, or they're drunk with whatever it is they're drunk with, they could be drunk with the pollutions of idolatry or the pollutions of idols. They could be drunk with that. They could be drunk with the lawlessness of the doctrine that the law was nailed to the cross. They could be drunk with that and scorn those who keep his law. For they have made ready their heart like an oven. While they lie in wait, their baker sleepeth all the night. In the morning it burneth as a flaming fire. They are a hall hot as an oven, and have devoured their judges. All their kings are fallen. There is none among them that calleth unto me. Look around. How many are really calling on Yahuwah? How many really care about his law and what pleases him? How many really want his commandments and his law written in their minds and their hearts, as he said it would be after those days in that time? And he was talking about after the Messiah came, when his Holy Spirit came after Pentecost, and our minds can now be renewed by the washing of the water of his word. His commandments can be written in our minds and in our hearts, as so that, as David proclaimed, that I might not sin against thee, O Yahuwah, that I might not sin against thee. Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. And there you go. That's the church today, inviting in all the pollutions of idols and the doctrine of evangelicalism. Anything to bring the pagans in. Anything. I say, let the pagans come on their own. Let them come to Yahuwah. Let them say, I want to follow his ways. Don't bring him in at any cost. He's not impressed by how many people walk down the aisle at your great crusades. He's interested in the motivation of the heart. Let them come. But Ephraim, he has mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. He's mixed himself among the people. What does that mean? That means he's allowed all of the pagan idolatry to come in. And it's all mixed up now. You have a form of godliness, but you deny the power thereof because you have clung to the power of idols. You have clung to the laws of men and the devices of men. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yeah, they don't know, do they? Yes, they're all going to their Xmas Christmas Mass, they all have their ex-Christmas trees and all of their idolatry and all of their idols and all of their symbols, pagan symbols. They brought them into the congregation. Strangers have devoured their strength, and they knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. And the pride of Israel testifieth to his face, and they do not return to Yahuwah their God, nor seek him for all of this. Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt, and they go to Assyria. And when they shall go, I will spread my net upon them. I will bring them down as the fowls of heaven. I will chastise them as their congregation hath heard. Woe unto them, for they have fled from me. Destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. And they have not cried unto me with their heart, when they howled upon their beds. They assemble themselves for corn and wine, and they rebel against me. Though I have bound and strengthened their arms, yet do they imagine mischief against me. They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword, for the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. You know, we are like strangers in a strange land, if we are his people in America. That's what we're like. We're like in Egypt. We're like in Sodom. We're like in Babylon. That's what it's like. We are strangers in a strange land. And I've been to the churches, went to them for years, and practiced the pollutions of idols with them because I didn't know better, because I believed what the preachers were preaching. But now I know better, and I look around. I remember what I see. I see all of their children going astray. They put their children, beautiful, wonderful, so-called Christian people, some people I love, you know, with all my heart, and their children and their grandchildren, they send them off to public schools. And you see that they're just, every one of them has seven devils in them. They have no regard. They are strange children. They have no regard for the Word of God or the things of God. All they care about is what their pagan, idolatrous teachers have taught them to care about. What the doctrine of the state has told them is important. Their parents are fools because their parents don't believe in evolution, or they believe in the Bible. But their parents have been fooled even by their false preachers, wayward pastors, who don't tell them, look, you can't turn your children over to the state. And why can't the pastors do that? Because it goes against public policy. It's political. That's right. But I'm going to tell you what, the Bible is one of the most political books on the face of the earth. Because what is politics, but it is policy. And what is policy? It's law. We develop policies to keep the law of whatever law form is ruling in the day. Their policy says that public school is a good thing. Since all state corporations cannot go against public policy, that's a very loose instruction for state corporations, but they're bound by it. They also cannot take place or endorse candidates for public office or have anything to do with politics, because that goes against the public policy and against their agreement with the state. So these pastors are blind leaders of the blind. And who pays the price? Well, their children and their children's children. They're all going astray. They're all going down into the pit. Very few of them will be saved. And that is sad. That is unfortunate. But that is just the fact of history. History bears it out. Even the history of the kingdom of God in the flesh is a terrible history. It's just like the history that is being lived out today in America. They are all gone astray, save a very small remnant. Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt, they go to Assyria, and when they shall go, I will spread my net upon them, I will bring them down as the fowls of heaven, I will chastise them as their congregation hath heard. Woe unto them, for they have fled from me, destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. They have not cried unto me with their heart. When they howled upon their beds, they assemble themselves for corn and wine. They rebel against me. Though I abound in strength in their arms, they do not, yet do they imagine mischief against me. They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. And I had to repeat that for emphasis. This is our derision in the land of our Egypt, in the land of our Sodom and Gomorrah, in the modern day mystery Babylon, which covers the whole earth. We're going to take a break here. You're listening to Cross the Border. And be sure to visit my website. I would like to hear from you. You can find a link there at my website, crosstheborder.org. Stay tuned for the news and come back for more.